one day early, and without you, we cannot have KBOO Community Radio. So once again, thank you to everyone.
Thanks, you guys. You're the best.
I want to thank you again. Say bye-bye.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Gaining Ground, a feature-length documentary film by Elaine Velasquez and Barbara Bernstein on Wednesday, September 30th, and Thursday, October 1st at Cinema 21 in Portland. Gaining Ground tells the stories of farmers making extraordinary changes in their farming practice so they can feed their local communities sustainably grown produce and grains. The documentary interweaves experiences of urban farmer activists, large farms in transition, and small family farmers. Again, that's Gaining Ground, Wednesday, September 30th, and Thursday, October 1st, at Cinema 21, 616 Northwest 21st Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Aladdin Theater, presenting jazz singer-songwriter Madeline Peru with Stephanie Schneiderman, performing this Wednesday, September 23rd. Tickets and information for Madeline Peru's performance are available at aladdin-theater.com.
You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dime Roberts. We are listening to music from Insatiable, an original taiko piece from Michelle Fuji and Toru Watanabe. Their group Unit Sozo is about to have their first original performance as a new group, Unit Sozo, and it's for their one-year anniversary. So they're going to be celebrating, and it's happening. It's called 88 Hachi Hachi, and it's on October 2nd through the 4th at Zoomtopia. We're going to find out more, so stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dime Roberts. With me in the KBOO studio are Michelle Fuji. Hello.
Hello.
And Toru Watanabe. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Co-directors of Unit Sozo. Welcome back to Stage and Studio.
Thank you for having us.
Yes.
It's good to have you here. I can't believe it's been a year.
Yes.
Over a year.
That's right.
Since we first started talking about Unit Sozo and how it came to be, there were some major life changes for you both. You both left Portland Taiko after Michelle's job was eliminated, so you decided to create your own company, and it's called Unit Sozo. And you haven't looked back, have you?
Well, we knew that taiko was a big part of our life, and we really wanted to continue with some of the artistic voices that we wanted to start creating. This gave us a wonderful opportunity this year to really go and delve deep into some of those places that we've always wanted to go with the art form of taiko.
And you've had a very busy year. What are some of the highlights, Toru, for you?
I mean, right away, we started teaching in school. I mean, that was it's a lot of work, but always it's fun to teach kids. Yeah, mm-hmm. And then we started teaching class and for adult, and of course we did Insatiable, the music from the Insatiable. We did performance in Olympia. Yeah,
you've been touring a lot.
We have. We've mm-hmm. been going not only throughout the United States, but also worldwide. We were invited to teach and perform at the UK Taiko Festival, and we just actually came back from working with a taiko group in Madrid.
I know. I was so jealous you were in Spain.
Yes, we were. So, you know, it's pretty amazing how taiko has spread worldwide. It's also amazing how connected and interested and curious everyone is about finding out what taiko is about from different vantage points.
There must be something really freeing about having your own group and being able to decide whatever the heck you want to do with it.
Yes, I mean, in some ways, or at the beginning, you know, there was just so much, and I will say honestly, it could be overwhelming at moments. This first year has been quite a roller coaster, but Now that we're really settling in and this year has been tremendous, I think we are really getting into the heart of where we want to be seeing ourselves with our art form.
It seems like this first year has been about establishing yourself, That's figuring right. out all the different angles as to how to support this new company and figure out what you want to do as artists. And it mm-hmm. seems like this first show is sort of the culmination of that. You're getting ready to premiere the first original work, 88 Hachi Hachi, as Unit Sozo. But it's also not only for Unit Sozo's anniversary, but it's also for your anniversary as a married couple, I understand.
Yes, there's a lot of multi-layers to this particular...
Very personal.
Very personal. When we were thinking about doing this show, it actually has been ruminating within me for a couple of years. It's been something that I've wanted to do with Toru as a couple, to go into some intimate and vulnerable places. Usually, or sometimes in a taiko presentation, you'll see a really large ensemble with a whole bunch of drums, which we also think is wonderful and empowering, but we wanted to see how personal we could get with our work and facing each other as a couple, as of course new co-directors of this new taiko company. It felt like the perfect first artistic step.
Well, what does the title Hachi Hachi mean? Because I know 8-8 is for your anniversary,
absolutely.
Right? Your marriage anniversary.
Yeah. Well, 8-8 for our anniversary, but there's lots of 88s. Toru, do you want to take this?
So the official Unit Sozo started that the August 8th last year too,
yes.
But
also it is it's anniversary
yeah,
for that
the, yeah company as well. But for myself, the thinking about the hachi means actually in Japanese forehead. So if we put the hachi and hachi together, so mean become like a head to head.
So forehead to forehead.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we
it's a sort of a term of endearment then in some ways, or an act of endearment.
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, having relationship with Michelle, I mean, 13 years we married. Yeah, we got married in Japan, and I moved to this country, and, you know, that now we start a new company. But, you know, having relationship, sometimes we have little tough time as well.
Oh, so you go head to head, too,
yeah,
in other ways.
In lots of ways.
Yeah, as a, you know, as a working couple as well. So how to make
so
a decision.
So it's an intimate communication
yes.
that's positive, but it's also like when you guys do, you know, you work things out,
yeah, how
right?
to figure out that out. Part, yeah.
Yeah, that's, sure. there's so many different meanings to that. and the titles, I love that the title also celebrates your wedding anniversary and your 13th wedding anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations
Thank
on
you.
That.
Thank you
and
so
you
much.
And you just had this really great fundraiser, too. You
yes.
did a crowdfunder for 88 Hachi Hachi,
yes.
the performance, and I thought the way you handled it was very friendly and
Thank
accessible,
you.
Almost as if you were trying to get subscribers, because you were doing it a little bit differently. Can you tell our listeners who might be wanting to do their own crowdfunder how you did that?
Well, it was called 88 Friends, going alongside, of course, with our 88, and it was 88 Friends at $33. I think it's was really important in this crowdfunding is that it really just doesn't take a lot in order to make a big difference for us as artists. Ticket sales alone oftentimes cannot provide all the financial funding and sustainability to make a show happen with all the rentals and so forth and behind the scenes stuff. And so having an accessible fundraising campaign where $33 with 88 friends would give us that sort of stability in that financial foundation. We were able to, of course, get our 88 friends.
And, you know, yes. that was successful. It just
Thank
it
you.
Took the pressure off a lot of people to say, oh, you yeah. know, how much do I do that? So I think it's an interesting model for other artists to follow
yeah.
at
yeah.
some point.
You really don't want to, I mean, we didn't want to plug too much of asking for too much. We
right.
wanted to just ask for what we needed.
Yeah, and it was so successful. So
was.
Congratulations
Thank
on
you
that.
So much.
You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dime Roberts, and we are talking with Toru Watanabe and Michelle Fuji, co-directors of Unit Sozo. They're about to open their new show, 88 Hachi Hachi, and that's October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And I'll have more details in a second. You know, this new theatrical work, 88 Hachi Hachi, weaves taiko, dance, dance and theater, and you brought in veteran theater movement artist Susan Banyas to direct this piece for you. Mm. You're going in a different direction, it looks like.
Well, we knew right away that we wanted to stretch ourselves, and in order to do that, we needed to bring in another perspective. Susan really does work with a mixture of different art forms to create her work, and that intrigued us because that's what we want to do. We wanted to weave together. But the other thing about Susan is that she also really works with lineage within her work, which is something that is inherent to playing taiko, also for us as Toru being Japanese, myself Japanese American, that we aren't separating ourselves from doing contemporary work, that we want to almost create new traditions alongside with the drum that, of course, we want to honor.
Well, how has she worked with you to create this original piece? How's it been working with her?
So, especially for me, the first rehearsal we had with Susan, and then she, you know, asked us to tell you a personal story, and then, you know, she does, you know, she tried to move us and then talk, and then, you know, so many ways. But I really surprised end up with talking, because, you know, especially for me, and speaking English is, I can speak a little bit.
It's not your first language.
It's not first language. Yeah. But I end up not worrying about, you know, my language barrier or anything. Just start talking about even childhood or my family, and then talking about relationship. I mean, she brought us so many things out from us. I mean, I really surprised how she did.
That's really her gift. You know, she has had this this form that she's called soul story. So yeah. People start talking about their personal stories, yeah. And then out of that movement emerges. So right. It sounds like that's kind of the same track that she's trying to find your soul, mm-hmm. You know, and bring that out through movement.
Yeah.
You're both trained, though, in Japanese dance. And you're also, I mean, there is a little bit of Japanese dance in this, too.
Absolutely. We want, you know, like as we navigate through these personal stories and some of this improvisation that Susan has really worked from the inside out to help us find, I think we also want to make sure that there's elements of our training, elements of where we've come from. We definitely are navigating this really delicate balance, and sometimes it's a challenging conversation. You know, how far do we want to go away? How much
traditional versus new, and
or
you know,
traditional versus new, or what's known versus, you know, like mm-hmm. a totally new
experimental
mm-hmm. skill art form. That's been also part of this tight rope that we've been walking on almost to get into our last stretch.
Well, and part of that, I guess, tightrope is bringing in a contact improvisation dancer, Eric Nordstrom, yes. to help you with
just,
that.
Yeah,
so
right.
That's a new art form for you too, isn't it?
Yeah, we just worked with Eric this weekend, and very intense. We learned a lot. Actually, I gained, you know, as you learn things, you learn that there's so much more to learn about it. And as much as we are going to infuse some of our work with the work we did with him, we also know that if we're going to really go for this, there is so much further to grow with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like you're going for strong professionalism. You're bringing in veteran lighting designer Jeff Woods to make you all look pretty, right?
Yeah. Yes, Jeff Forbes. But yes. Yeah, he...
I'm sorry, Jeff Forbes.
He's a magician.
He's
a magician.
Yeah.
Okay.
He is. He's so wonderful to work with. So we really love working with him and are fortunate.
Oh, well, this all sounds incredible. And I understand that, Toto, you have a piece for us that you can do from 88 Hachi Hachi. You want to give a little bit of intro while Toto sets up?
One of the ways in which we have really looked at this piece is that there are us moments where the two of us are coming together, and there are two other sections, one in which I look at Toru and then the second section, which Toru is looking and reflecting upon me. It's been an enlightening experience, honestly. We're going to do a section, or Toru's going to do a section on when he is looking and reflecting upon me, and it's a song and a drum.
ずっと二人歩いてきた辛い時もあるけれど支え合って生きてくずっと二人で生きてく ずっと二人歩いてきた辛い時もあるけれど支え合って生きてくずっと二人で生きてく
That was beautiful. Thank you so much. That was Toru Watanabe, a performance, and his beautiful singing voice. You know, Toru, I could listen to you all day singing. It's just so lovely. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dime Roberts, and I'm here with Toru Watanabe, who just performed, and Michelle Fuji, co-directors of Unit Sozo. They're about to open their new show, 88 Hachi Hachi. It's the company's first original production, which debuts October 2nd and 3rd at 8 p.m. and October 4th at 2 p.m. All shows are at Zoomtopia in Southeast Portland. And Unit Sozo brought together, you know, a multimedia theater artist, Susan Banyas, to direct, and Eric Nordstrom to incorporate contact improvisation, and Drammy Award-winning lighting designer Jeff Forbes. So for more info, you can visit Unit Sozo, and that's SOUZOU.com, or stationstudio.org, where I have all this info as well. I just took a video of Toru too, so you guys can check in the site later today and see what it looks like. You seem to have found, both of you, Zoomtopia as a home right now. I mean, you did your inaugural introduction as Unit Sozo there. Tell us about this space and what makes it special for you.
Well, Zoomtopia Studio 2 and Studio 1 have definitely been sort of a home for us from the very, very beginning. Suba Ganesan, who is the studio manager and also a very, very amazing Bharatanatyam dancer and teacher, she actually sort of has been a longtime friend and made a space for us. Zoomtopia on Belmont is just this really lovely, almost small black box theater, and then it has an adjacent studio for practice. And she was able to clear out Mondays so that we could have our taiko classes initially. So once a week, we still maintain Monday night taiko classes at Studio 2. But our friendship and our relationship with Studio 2 is always to really try to bring our artistic voice into that place. And so when we were doing the show, we asked her if we could actually also, in addition to our taiko classes, perform. And she definitely opened up the calendar so that we can be there. So it's been sort of a place in which, I will say this, actually going into performing at Studio 2, since we've been there so frequently and consistently, it's different than going into a stage and moving in for a couple of days. It's been something that's been residing with us since we began Unit Sozo. So it does feel a little bit like an artistic home for us.
It does
us.
Feel like a home when you're so close to that. And the whole Zoomtopia Studio 1 and 2 has become sort of this multidisciplinary, yes, art center.
Absolutely. Well, it definitely within this year was transitional, and it sort of moved into some new ownership. But now, Studio One and Two solidly can present a lot of different kinds of works. I know Suba has a lot in mind for what this little hub, artistic hub in Southeast, could provide. I know, for instance, right now Residency New bringing in four contemporary dancers to be able to have space and do a showing after about 3 or 4 months. That's been an important established program. But also there's a lot of other amazing groups practicing there regularly, Obo Addy Legacy Project and lots of other contemporary dance classes. I know Suba, and also Suba teaches too. So she's been thinking of maybe putting together an official roster of the offerings of Studio 2.
It's very exciting that's happening. It's on 8th and Belmont, 810 Southeast Belmont in Portland. And it just seems like that, you know, that's it's another option for artists, you know, for a venue, you know, and a home. So in the time remaining, I'm wondering, after this performance, well, actually, let me ask you this. You've gone through this whole journey, you know, forming Unit Sozo and creating a lot of work for both of you throughout the year, and now this performance that's coming up on October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. What lessons can you pass on to other artists who might have gone through a similar situation, from something, a larger organization, to forming your own organization? And, you know, what lessons can you pass on to other artists who might be going through the same process or the same journey?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is just to believe in your work, no matter, you know, where that location is, that there is a place that your voice can exist. And there's lots of, you know, things in life that can make it so you might question where you're going to be, but honestly, it will find its place. And we feel really fortunate with the amount of support that we received from so many at the very beginning. Just a shout out there that so many donated to our original fundraising campaign. So many, we also got such an amazing support from Asano Taiko US, that
they donated all your drums, right?
Yeah, they provided us with drums so that we could immediately perform 1 month after our initiation, and we couldn't have done it without drums. And you know, the list goes on and on, but you know, there are so many people out there that will support, and we have been so grateful.
Do you feel that you're both more connected to your immediate audience? You know, are you more connected since you've had all the support, that on a more intimate level, that you've really gotten to know who your core base is?
Well,
definitely. And then we are kind of going to new artistic direction as well, so I'm really excited to, you know, meet new folks as well.
Yeah, and it is. Yeah. We were just reflecting upon this because recently, over the summer, we had quite a roster of summer festival performances. And by the end of in August, we were doing a couple of performances, and some people came to us and they said, "We came specifically to see you." And it just shocked me, because I didn't realize that we had been performing enough that people are starting to come back and recognize us and Unit Sozo. That meant a lot. It felt like we were building ourselves step by step, one person at a time.
You have a fan base. Superstar.
Yay. Thank you to the two people.
Actually, somebody came from Olympia. I remember that.
That's true.
To see the dance through the Chinese Garden performance.
That's pretty cool.
I know.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Well, so it doesn't sound like you have any regrets.
I think, you know, it is about moving forward and looking towards that. But, you know, there's things about past. When you think about lineage, when you think about tradition, when you think about your experience, that all just sort of builds up into where you are now. So that's the way I think we look at the present and the future.
Well, yeah, let's talk about the future. You know, you're talking about lineage, tradition, experience, but what's the future after this performance for Unit Sozo? What plans? What are your dreams?
Well, we definitely want to create more work That is one of our, I guess, inspired by the word sozol. Sozol having three translation, creation and imagination, and noisy being the third. But having creativity and imagination for the art form of taiko is at the core of what we do and what we want to be continuing. So to create new work. The other thing that's exciting is the possibility of our tour show, Insatiable, to start traveling, and we will have a performance, actually a short little tour in January, going to Wyoming.
What's happening in Wyoming?
We were able to get some bookings for Insatiable, so that feels like a nice first step of really getting that show on the road. But we also were selected by NPN, the National Performance Network, to showcase Insatiable in December. So we're excited that...
What is that, NPN?
NPN, National Performance Network. It's a consortium of presenters and artists, and they come together to really speak about what I would say artistic work, and have conversation versus with artists.
Well, they're having their national conference here in Portland in December, exactly. Is my understanding.
Exactly. So, yeah. PICA is hosting that.
Yeah, so that's excellent for you, too.
We are.
So you figure everybody will find out about you, and then all of a sudden you're going to be totally booked by the end of the end of 2016, right?
We hope so. Please.
Well, that is so cool, and I'm just so pleased for you both, because I know that you've gone on this journey. Do you ever feel like you're competing with other taiko groups in Portland, or you really feel secure in what you're doing?
Well, you know, one of the ways that I look at this, because I came from a really large taiko community, I was not only started in San Jose, Bay Area, which has a wealth of taiko groups, but then also I was in Los Angeles for a while before moving to Portland. And they say within Los Angeles, within a 30-mile within a 5-mile radius, there are 30 taiko groups. So in such a very tight area, there's so many different kinds of taiko groups, and there's room for many. What we are excited about in the Portland taiko community is that we are diversifying, and we are offering a lot of different voices for the art form of taiko, which I think is a really wonderful opportunity to look at not only our art form, but how we can have different ideas.
So. Well, performances for Unit Sozo's 88 Hachi Hachi are Friday, October 2nd and at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 8 p.m. October 3rd and Sunday, October 4th at 2 p.m. at Zoomtopia Studio 2. Zoomtopia is located at 810 Southeast Belmont Street in Portland. For tickets, visit unitsozo.com. That's SOUZOU.com. There are discounted prices for artists, students, and seniors. Hello, Michelle Fuji, and you can find all that information at stageandstudio.org. Michelle Fuji and Toto Watanabe, thank you so much for joining me. And Toto, thank you for that performance, too.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Love to hear you sing, and have a great run for your show.
Thank you so much.
Before we go today, an announcement. My film, adaptation of May May, A Daughter's Song, just won the Best Historical Documentary Award from the Oregon Independent Film Festival. Yay! Thank you. The 30-minute film will be shown this Saturday, only this Saturday, September 26th. At 4 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, located at 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. And for more info about the film, visit maymayproject.com or go to the Clinton Street Theater website. This may be the last Portland showing for May May. I adapted the Peabody Award-winning half-hour radio documentary, May May, A Daughter's Song, using the film, using the radio piece as the film's sole soundtrack. Here's a clip from the radio documentary.
It's not your time yet, Mene. Mene. I'm Shinyashiden. It's not your time yet.
In Taiwanese, Mei Mei means little sister. It's a term of endearment for any little girl, But there are no pictures of my mother as a little girl. No baby pictures, no pictures at all until she was grown up. She was born in 1932, right before World War II, sold by her own parents, not just once, but twice, to work for other people. Her step-parents, she called them.
How long ago was it, last time you were in Taiwan?
I told you 25 years. Why you want to repeat?
Try to pretend you haven't told me anything, okay? Just try to pretend that. It'll make it a lot easier. So how come they sold you?
I don't know.
That was a clip from the radio documentary Mei Mei, A Daughter's Song. You can see the film adaptation, 30-minute film adaptation, this Saturday, September 26th at the Clinton Street Theater. More info at independentfilmfest.com. That's it for Stage and Studio. You can hear the show again at stageandstudio.org and also like me on facebook.com/stage, the letter and studio. Till next time, I'm Dimae Roberts.
Buffalo herd, you can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. You can't roller skate in a buffalo herd, but you can be happy if you've mind to.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Buffalo Field Campaign 2015 Roadshow, hosted Wednesday, September 23rd at 7 p.m. at Bison Coffee House in Portland. The event will feature stories and songs about the last wild buffalo and information about the ongoing struggle to protect them. That's the Buffalo Field Campaign 2015 Roadshow, Wednesday, September 23rd, 7 p.m. at the Bison Coffee House, 3941 Northeast Cully Boulevard in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
You can't roller skate in the buffalo herd. You can't roller skate in the buffalo herd.